This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, we're back to the tricky and gigantic issue of internet addiction.
So Tan Sri Anwar Musa has said that internet addiction and insufficient parental control means a higher cybersecurity risk for young people online. First, we understand the connection between the two. Then, how can we recognize the warning signs of internet addiction? And finally, where does regulation enter the picture?
So let us know, do you think you're addicted to the internet? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and let's start with the study or the statement, really, both of which were announced by Communications and Multimedia Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa, who said that internet addiction and insufficient parental control has resulted in increased cybersecurity risks for younger internet users. This is something that's been substantiated by the Cybersecurity Awareness Benchmark Study 2021-2022, and that involved over 16,000 respondents, including students and parents, and the risks, specific risks associated with inappropriate content and online transactions were part of what required urgent attention.
I think on the surface of it, it might seem like a fairly obvious link, right? If you're addicted to the internet and therefore spend a lot more time on it, then perhaps you are also more open to those kinds of cybersecurity issues that come with the bulk of this kind of activity. But I think it's worth looking at the type of behavior that this study talks about. They reported things like sleeping late, a preference for using mobile phones over interacting with friends, and becoming upset when denied mobile phones as a symptom of addiction. And then Anwar Musa highlighted the need to tighten parental surveillance and device securities, as well as to build value systems to avoid internet misuse. If we look at this more generally, a 2020-2021 survey by Google's Trust Research team revealed that 36% of Malaysian parents had children who were targets of online scams. And it also talked about the fact that this often led to children having their accounts hijacked and being coerced into surrendering sensitive information, thereby making that link between excessive usage and the ways in which they can leave themselves open to threat. And unsurprisingly, other concerns included children interacting with strangers, viewing inappropriate content, and oversharing personal information.
So the thing that came to mind for me when thinking about how it is that these sorts of lines can be crossed online comes with the amount of the ways in which being online, I think, creates a fog where you get you've been scrolling and scrolling and reading and reading and watching thing after thing that you don't necessarily, I don't feel like you are fully in control anymore of your faculties. And that is something that is perhaps younger people who have spent less time not online might be less aware of. I don't know if everyone is familiar with this, and I feel as if now I'm just outing myself as someone who spends way too much time online. But I do think that for most of us who have ever found themselves spending too much time on the internet or spending too much time on social media, you'll be familiar with this. Before you know it, you're almost at the part where you purchase something. And you think, how did I get here?
I think the rabbit hole is real. I think the, and then, you know, there have been numerous studies about how even the visuals of the of various platforms and websites are built to keep you there, to keep you constantly clicking on the next thing, constantly wanting to consume the next piece of content. And I think one aspect of this is, of course, that we are so reliant on technology for so many things. How do you then draw those lines? How do you tell, well, everyone, but specifically a young person who perhaps is a little bit more rebellious, a little more resistant to being told what to do? How do you tell them you can spend 10 hours a day doing research for work, for school, but we draw the line at you doing these things? It's a very difficult line to draw, and I think very difficult to monitor as well.
we're going to get into this later, right, about the signs and what to look out for. But according to a 2016 survey on this, internet addiction consists of three factors. So firstly, salience, where internet use becomes the most prioritized activity in one's life. Then after that, it's self-control failure, where you're unable to control your internet use in accordance with self-set goals. And finally, it's the consequences, where a user experiences negative physical, psychological, and social effects because of said problematic internet use. And I mean, there have been so many studies conducted on this at this point, and they've linked internet addiction to a number of issues, depression, loneliness, anxiety, these pre-existing problems. And so all of which to say, if the study finds, and I'm not surprised that it does, that internet addiction is a major problem in Malaysia, especially among younger folks, it's important to talk about it now, particularly in terms of, like we said, what we're going to do today, how it intersects with cybersecurity, what we could do, psychologically speaking, to recognize and then to address, and lastly, maybe regulation, which is a tough one online. So we want to hear from you. Do you think that you're addicted to the internet? Join our little confessional. Call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant, LGMS. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about internet addiction. This has come as the Communications and Multimedia Minister, Tan Sri Anwar Musa, said that internet addiction and insufficient parental controls has resulted in increased cybersecurity risk for younger internet users. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you think that you're addicted to the internet? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on that point about internet addiction and cybersecurity, we're going to start our show off with that. Joining us is CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant, LGMS. CF, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Lynn. Hi, Sharmila.
Before we get into the news, right, are you addicted to the internet, you think? I mean, I assume that a lot of your work happens online.
I guess I have to confess, I think many of us, including myself, are more or less addicted, in a way, forced to be addicted to the net. I mean, most of the time we are spending our time online meetings anyway nowadays.
So let's then start by looking at what the minister said, right? Which is that internet addiction and lack of parental oversight has increased cybersecurity threats for younger users. Could you help us understand this link between internet addiction and cybersecurity issues?
Yeah, I mean, based on my view, I think addiction means that you spend a lot more time, in fact, most of the time spent online. Now, when you're spending most of your time online, your exposure get larger. Now, many cybersecurity issues today have one way or another relating to spending too much time online. For example, we're looking at issues like gambling, online gaming, cyberbullying, you know, even cyber grooming by the pedophiles. So there's a lot of social issues actually exist, you know, when more of us are getting online and conduct our daily lives online nowadays. So we can share a little bit more, you know, later.
Maybe you can help by giving us a scope of the issue, right? How big an issue is this here in Malaysia?
I think it's a major issue everywhere, not just in Malaysia. As long as any countries that have internet access, fast internet access, the same kind of issues, internet addictions, will apply to them as well. So I don't think we are isolated in Malaysia, but everywhere. There are many, many issues when it comes to addiction. So in our course of work, we do come across many social issues, like we have received requests to help people, teenagers, who share their nude pictures online because they spend too much time, spend a lot of time online, you know, building social network and meeting with people, chatting with strangers. So a lot of these kind of similar issues actually getting piling up. And we are seeing the trend here, and not just for younger people, but for older folks as well. Older folks have other types of issues.
Now, if we look at the group of people that this particular report is about, what are the dangers of children and teenagers spending too much time online?
Well, I think when it comes to teenagers and children, I think the biggest concern, if for me as well, I'm as a parent, I think is the kind of exposure that they are facing. For example, nobody wants their children, the underage children, to see pornographic content online. And nobody wants our children to see violence or drug abuse content online. And without proper control, it's very hard to prevent, and it's inevitable that, you know, among the children, they can just see some of this content easily by just typing a URL, by just searching some keywords. So there has to be some way to for parents and supervisors to to help our children to protect them from some of these kind of exposures.
If we look at the online security stuff, right, some of the things they mentioned were surrendering sensitive information, as you say, viewing inappropriate content, but also concerns about online transactions and things like that. Can you talk to us about the specific issues related to younger people and online security or breaches of security?
Well, breaches of security, I think younger people, like, they're no different than older folks. I mean, some of the issues that we see are their credentials, personal credentials, password, you know, easily trusting strangers, sharing their personal data to strangers, personal data, including their pictures, private pictures, home address, and all this personal information. And this can be a serious risk. Other than that, I think a long time exposure of the internet also is training our younger generation to have much shorter time span attention. And, you know, anything that they do not know, just trust the search engine. Whatever the search engine says is always like the absolute truth. So, in fact, this is a very major topic. I have to classify them from a security perspective, right? I would say from a security standpoint, if we are addicted to the internet, I think our children are addicted to the internet. The first thing I would say that is that we have to understand what kind of content are they seeing? You know, what kind of apps are they using? And who are the people they have been interacting with on the internet? I think these are the few points as parents that we need to pay special attention on.
So if I could expand on that, actually, are there particular activities that younger people might basically get up to online, whether it's things like gaming or certain types of apps or websites that they might access, that perhaps carry a larger security risk issue?
Oh, yes. There are many. In fact, you know, in the gaming world, online gaming worlds, younger generation who are actively participating in online gamings, there are scams happening in the gaming world. You know, people are transacting among each other. Of course, scams is one thing. And then people also trading not just on currencies, but also trading personal private pictures, like, you know, pictures of your personal past and all that. So there's a lot of implications of this online gaming. Also, that's why online gaming itself is not really, on the surface, it's not really a big issue. But if we spend too much time in the online world and children are doing a lot of other activities as parents or supervisor may not be aware of.
We have a WhatsApp from Siemens who wants to know, with the trend of moving towards the metaverse, I mean, how is this just going to get more complicated, right? This question of internet addiction and security.
I think it's definitely it's going to get more complicated because all of us will be spending more time online, you know, doing our daily tasks. And with the emerge of metaverse, I think we need to have some kind of controls in place, even for now.
So the word controls has come up a number of times already. What sorts of tools or measures are there to monitor or control how young people use the internet?
Well, I think as parents and supervisors, what we wanted to know is that we wanted to have our children to expose to the right content, right information online, you know, when they surf online. There are many parental control software available in the market. Even there are free software available that comes together with our phones, comes together with Android, comes together with Apple, iOS. I think all parents need to know the existence of such tools and make use of the tools. The tools will allow the parents or supervisor to understand the utilizations of the device, of the phones, or the tablets, what are the screen time, you know, the children has been utilizing for. So there are also third-party tools that are commercially available to provide the parents more granular assessment on the children's activity and also impose stricter controls to what kind of exposure the children can get.
But how effective are these tools in keeping ahead of younger users, especially teenagers? I don't think children so much, but teenagers, mm-hmm. right? Because young folks are often more internet savvy than the people who will be employing the parental controls.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You see, some of these free tools that that comes together with the phone, like, for example, I'm just using one real example, Google, that provides a tool called Family Link. Now, you can use Family Link to restrict what website a child can see and what website a child cannot go to. But the thing is, the tools only control the Chrome browser. So if the teen is smart enough, right, the teen could have installed another browser and use another browser to go to other places. So that's why I would still suggest the parents or supervisors to go and explore third-party commercially available tools. Now, third-party commercially available tools are far more superior and much better in terms of allowing the parents to apply the controls onto the phone rather than the free one that comes with the phone.
So what needs to happen to build greater awareness in young people when it comes to digital security issues?
Well, again, this is a very big topic. I would suggest, right? First of all, as parents and supervisor, we need to stay abreast of what is going on the World Wide Web. We need to know what is going on right now. And from a country's perspective, I think we need to review and refresh our education systems because cybersecurity issues, we need to incorporate cybersecurity and awareness topics into our syllabus. You know, we need to help our younger generation to recognize the full aspects of the internet, the pros and cons, and parents need to spend more time with your children and guide them and help them to understand the risks and bad elements that exist in the World Wide Web. And I think a lot of these have to start from the parents ourselves. And if the government can do anything, I would strongly advocate the government to improve our education system to incorporate more security ideas into the syllabus.
CF, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS, weighing in essentially on this link between internet addiction and a lack of parental oversight leading to increased cybersecurity threats for younger users. And that topic of internet addiction, it's such a big one, and I don't think it's exclusive to younger users. So we would like to hear from you. Do you think that we're addicted to the internet? Are you addicted to the internet? How are you managing that? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages that have come in.
All taking on a particular tone, I'll just say. Kevin says, I'm not addicted to the internet. I only use it when I have time, like lunchtime, dinner time, bedtime, and all the time. I can stop anytime as soon as I finish one more video.
Yeah, me too.
That sounds about right.
So off that, the one thing that I wanted to pick out, Kevin, is one more video, because there are measures that are in place even on your phone, right? Most phones, for example, I mean, I'm using iOS, and you can actually set time limits on apps, right, to ensure that you just put the thing down, stop scrolling. And yet, I think even with that, and even with your own set limits of, okay, no, I'm going to go to bed, many of us often just bypass that.
Yeah, and I think often it's like any addiction, isn't it? You know you can do better, but deciding to do it is yet another thing. We have Boy saying, I'm not addicted to the internet. That's why I listen to the radio while driving. But the internet makes almost everything I do cheaper and faster. Online news and magazines instead of newspapers, email instead of sending a letter or pigeon. I do feel that most people nowadays are really addicted. We can see how anxious they become without coverage. If it were me, I prefer to be off my data during the weekend or holidays, or having enjoying a cup of coffee, playing games, or with family or friends, or repaying my sleep debt. Oh, wait, is this a sign of aging, or am I in a midlife crisis? And I feel that I have more privacy and productivity without the internet as well. That point about how the internet is built to make things more convenient and conversely make life without it inconvenient is actually a really important one.
It is. But also the other part of it is, if this is what a midlife crisis looks like, that's not too bad, is
coffee,
it?
Coffee, friends, naps. I mean, bring it on.
Exactly. And I think for most of us, the problem with using the internet wholly functionally is exactly in that. The fact that it's made a lot of things easier, firstly. But the other thing is also that it's tied quite inextricably to a lot of the things you do. I was thinking about this because I have a hobby which does not involve screen time. And I'm grateful for it because it gets me off my phone and off my laptop. However, to look at inspirational photos of said hobby, to look at YouTube videos to tell me how to sew a zipper, to, you know, do all these things, I'm back online. And I think that this is something we see a lot.
Yes, practically everything you do now goes back to the internet, right? Even if it's something as simple as going for a walk, you can use your devices to track your distance or your speed or your incline or whatever. It is a self-feeding organism.
Okay, now that we've made it sound so appealing, are you addicted to the internet? We're talking about this because of a report and a statement by the Communications and Multimedia Minister, Tan Sri Anwar Musa, that internet addiction and insufficient parental control means increased cybersecurity risk, particularly for younger internet users. So what do you make of this? And are you addicted to the internet? What are you doing to manage it? Share. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we're talking about internet addiction after a statement, firstly, but also a study reported that internet addiction and insufficient parental control means increased cybersecurity risk for younger internet users. So we spent the first part of our show talking about that link, right, between the use of the internet or the overuse of the internet and cybersecurity. Now we're going to talk about the perhaps trickier subject of addiction and how to manage that. We have, however, been asking you, do you think that you're addicted to the internet? And how are you personally kind of handling that? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we have time for maybe a couple of messages.
So eMacro on Twitter says, the internet, you cannot be addicted to a necessity.
I mean, food is a necessity and you can be addicted to that. So I'm not sure
necessarily. Moderation, isn't that what they always say?
That's what they say. And I think how much of the internet is considered a necessity, right? Like it's not necessarily like oxygen where it's something you need constantly. I do agree, though, that we rely on it so heavily for work and for study that discerning that line between when it's actually needed and when we're on it just because we're on it now, that's quite hard to tell.
So Marnaidu actually addresses that. They say, ask the question, who isn't addicted to the internet? Since everything is going digital these days, given every short break, the hand automatically urges for the phone to use the internet. The worst part is when it takes over regular sleeping hours. It's a serious problem, but without the internet, how can we soar forward? Maybe for those below the age of 18, they shouldn't be allowed to use their phones or the internet after 7 p.m.
Just the idea of that. Firstly, the hand itching towards the phone is just such a horrible thing. But also the idea of doing that for children, that's actually something, or teenagers, that's something that we're seeing put in place in other countries. I don't know how it would necessarily work here. Before we get to our guest, I wanted to get to this one from Michael, who says, I'm not addicted to the internet. The internet is addicted to me. Oh no, here it is again, forcing me to use Twitter to comment on a radio show.
Oh, the irony.
Sorry, I just really enjoyed that. Anyway, keep those thoughts coming. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think you're addicted to the internet? This is a safe space. Be honest. And also, how are you managing that? If you'd like to share, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, joining us on this is Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jigathevijigathesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences from the University of Cyberjaya. Doctor, thanks for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Okay, we're actually asking every one of our guests this. I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you addicted to the internet?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
But the other day I left my phone at home and I went to work and I wasn't stressed about it. That was quite good, actually.
I think that's perhaps a good sign. Could you start us off by explaining what internet addiction actually is and what might it look like in younger people?
Any kind of addiction, not just internet addiction, is when the addiction controls your life. You are reducing the time that you actually want to spend or you need to spend on other things, and you're using it instead on the internet. So instead of allocating appropriate amount of time to where it is, you have now stolen time from other areas in your life in order to feed your addiction. Things become an addiction. Like some people just now when they're commenting, they were saying, like, I need it for work. And that's not addiction. You need it for work. Okay, fine. The work is something that you have to do, and you have to do it online. Fair enough. But then if you are supposed to be with your kids and you're on the internet, you are supposed to be having a shower. And instead of having a shower, you continue playing a game and you don't have shower for days, you know, that's a problem. So that becomes then an addiction. So addiction is when we are sacrificing, you know, necessary parts of our lives in other things and doing this event obsessively. Another one of addiction is when it is taken away, what is your reaction? So if you take away the computer from a child and they start screaming the house down and then they don't stop. Okay, if they scream the house down for 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then they sort, that's fine. But if they keep continuing for hours, then there's a problem. The problem is not just addiction, it is also parenting.
So we're going to focus quite a fair bit on younger people since that's the news. Mm-hmm. But older folks, of course, are not immune to this. How might this manifest or look different in older people?
In older people, we hide it better. We are able to pretend that we're not addicted. We are. younger children, because, you know, you have school, you have this, other people can control and remove the device from you. Whereas older people is you have control of the device. So when you are doing an addiction, you know, we come up with excuses and people, and, you know, we get away with it. People have died. Well, I did laugh about it. The sad case is that people have died in certain countries because they were playing and they didn't stop playing computer games. They didn't stop being on the internet and they actually died from it. So there is always going to be a reason, you know, we are human beings. We are meant to move. We are meant to walk. We are meant to do exercise. And if we just sit sedentary on that computer, you know, on social media the whole day, we are going to have negative effects on our body. And as adults, we hide the fact that we are addicted a lot more than children. And that's dangerous because at the end of the day, suddenly you end up with a heart attack.
How serious a problem is this in Malaysia? Have you seen it in the people you speak to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it in young people. We see it in colleagues. But the level of addiction is not, you know, it's not like what you have in certain places in China, in certain other countries. They are individuals who are addicted, but it's not that bad yet because we are, you know, on the phone, on the internet for work. So that's where it gets hidden. You know, that's where it becomes a bit of an issue where you have to go case by case. You have to see an individual and what they're doing. And the numbers aren't that high in Malaysia so far. No, not at least not among adults. Among teenagers, it's a bit higher, but it is there.
So you mentioned some behaviors earlier, right? And I thought we could hone in on that. What specifically are some warning signs that people can look out for?
In teenagers or in adults?
Let's start with teenagers.
Okay, when you're talking about teenagers, it is the behavior when something breaks or something shuts down. The house electricity goes off. How do they behave? Everybody, you know, house electricity, we can't control it, but their reaction is boiling rage, anger, you know, frustration, uncontrolled frustration. The computer has to be on in order for them to be calm. The minute I come back home, I have to switch on. I have to go in front of the computer. I cannot stop to eat. Those kinds of indicators are quite dangerous indicators of, you know, of internet addiction. One thing that people have to understand is that playing 2 hours of computer a day, if that's something that you have scheduled, that's not addiction. It is when you cannot stop playing. You're not stopping playing to, you know, to eat. You're not stopping playing to sleep. And given when a new game comes out, like for people who are gamers, you'll know recently Forbidden West came out. So if somebody is like playing that game, then you at that point in time, there'll be a lot of people gaming in order to be first. They do that for a couple of days, three, four days, then they go back to normal sleeping patterns. That's not addiction. It is when it is being done, you know, for long periods of time, repetitive and compulsive behaviors. The thing that you need to watch out for is, you know, aggression, frustration when it is not there. The inability to self-soothe. One of the biggest things and the most dangerous things I see is that when children start acting up in public, somebody just takes out and passes them the phone. I mean, seriously, in learning how to control yourself, learning how to delay gratification is one of the biggest things in how we protect people from addictions. Making kids wait and making adults wait. But now, right now, you know, when we immediately give people handphones, we immediately give people the social media in order to stop them from misbehaving, what we are teaching them is that they are immediately gratified. And, you know, what's more immediately gratifying than drugs? What's more immediately gratifying than, you know, impulsive behavior? So there is a danger there, you know, of allowing kinds of habits to form where people feel they must, you know, have satisfaction immediately. So please don't give your kid, iPad or phone in order to soothe them, because that kind of addiction is dangerous. You're teaching them to not monitor themselves, but to rely on other things to monitor their own behavior. It's okay for kids to be bored. It's a good thing. Children can be bored. If their child is bored, good. Think of something creative to do. This is something that we really need to start paying attention to, because when you look at the research on delayed gratification, it was one of the biggest protective factors for success as an adult. People who can wait, people who can be patient, people who know how to moderate their own emotions and behaviors do better in the long term. People who require soothing from an external thing, from, you know, external devices, from external parties, they tend to have more problems, you know, in managing their whole lives as adults.
Now, if we do see these warning signs in younger people, what are some steps that can be taken to try and manage them?
Parents are not going to like me for this answer. You know, somebody mentioned we have to take away the phone from the kids at 7 o'clock. Well, I mean, at a reasonable bedtime. That means the parents also have to put it down. You can't control the child if you yourself are on the internet. If you're on your phone, you cannot tell your child, get off the phone. So when we are managing this, we have to remove the devices, not just from the kids, but from yourself as well, and get involved in activities where we are not online. You have to do it with the child. It cannot be punishment. It must be a part of, okay, this is the time when we're all going to do some gardening together. I don't, you know, too bad. Everybody's doing it. We're all going to do this together. We all, you have to do this. So, you know, and you have to be their parent, not their friend. All right. And sometimes nowadays we do get people who want to be their friend. I get you. You want to be friendly, but kids can have many friends. At the end of the day, they have one parent. And what are you teaching them? Please, what I'm saying is do not like stop them at all from playing games. No, I'm a gamer myself, so I don't think that gaming is bad by itself. I think that as long as it is scheduled, as long as there's time for it, and then there's time for other things, then you're fine. But when we use this technology as, chupis, to soothe, that's when it's dangerous.
We have just a couple of minutes left with you. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
I do have one more thing. I mean, a long time ago, I watched a documentary when I was a kid, and this is talking going back to safety and cyber safety. And in this documentary that I watched, it was about pedophilia. And this pedophile said that in his dream world, all he needs is to have access to children in their room. This is what we've created. Parents need to be aware that children having the access to internet in their rooms at night, why do they need it? They don't need it. If their bedtime is 10 o'clock, then at 10 o'clock, all devices cannot be in the room. They must be out of the room, not with the kids. And, you know, when children get into trouble online, and even teenagers, please understand, it's not their fault. Do not immediately blame them. Do not shut down communication. You need to keep communication lines open, because what you find on the internet is people who are experts at grooming children. You know, they're experts at molding kids to believe in them and not their parents. So, you know, this is something that we have to be aware of. And if a child is in trouble, do not shut the door and say, oh, you know, come down so hard and blame them and say, it's all your fault. How could you do this? No. Okay, this has happened. Now, how do we manage? Get on managing the situation. Get on protecting your child and get the child to understand with empathy and sympathy rather than, you know, very harshly. So that is actually, when it comes back to cybersecurity, that's what I want to say, because that's a very important topic to me.
Dr. Anasuya, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jigathesan, Dean of Psychology and Social Sciences from the University of Cyberjaya. After this, we're going to talk about regulation. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:52 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been talking today about internet addiction and how it can lead to increased risks for cybersecurity, especially for younger people. And we've been asking you, are you addicted to the internet? Keep those thoughts coming. And now we're going to close off our show by looking at the subject of regulation. So talking to us is Tong Lai Ling, a technology, multimedia and telecommunications lawyer. Lai Ling, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, good evening.
So firstly, are there regulations that aim to curb internet addiction at the moment in our country?
Well, currently there is no law in Malaysia which aims to curb internet addiction, although there has been talk of pushing for such laws in the past. And in fact, there was even talk of the regulator MCMC setting up a cyber wellness centre a few years ago to handle this issue. But I don't think anything has been done since then.
So what forms of regulation would you like to see? What would be effective?
Well, in my humble opinion, I'm not sure whether intervention by the state in the form of introducing regulation is the best and most effective way of curbing internet addiction, especially there may be issues with defining as to what the offence actually is. For example, if there's a regulation stating that parents are to ensure that device usage by the children under the age of 12 should be restricted to, say, 2 hours per day after school hours. You know what? If the child is required to access the internet to do their homework, which will inevitably be after hours, how is the parent going to police this short of looking over the child's shoulder at all times? So I feel that it is not an easy thing.
So there are other elements here, right, that aim towards more of a cybersecurity point of view. So things like parental control, age limits to try and ensure that at least what the child is exposed to is not the whole entire internet. What can be done to ensure that those sorts of elements are perhaps more prominent?
Mm. Agree. Yes, I think there can be other things done. For example, there should be some awareness programs put in place. It's just that I think that there may be other ways to reduce the risk of that were mentioned in the report, such as unsuitable internet content and risk associated with online transactions. I mean, even software and programs like NetNanny to ensure that there's no unsuitable content put in place, and as well as practicing good internet etiquette, like not saving your password online so that the online transactions cannot be easily performed by a child. So I would feel that education, awareness, and even counselling may be more effective than putting in place regulation.
Are these sorts of aspects, parental control, age limit, and so on, are they enforced on the part of websites and platforms?
Currently, no, not really. Well, to some extent, they can control like the age of children. I mean, whether a minor, for example, is actually online. But you see, the thing is, there is no way of ensuring that the child is actually not an adult, for example, right? I mean, the adult is, the child is actually a child. I mean, you wouldn't know. I mean, a child can just declare that, yes, I'm over 18. It's not easy currently to know what the age is of the child.
So there are other countries like South Korea and China who are recognizing this as an issue. Can we learn anything from what they've put in place?
Yeah, this is a very good point because I'm certainly aware that these countries have laws, for example, to prevent children under the age of 16 from playing online video games between midnight and 6 a.m., you know, like a shutdown period. Or even China, which requires online game providers to discourage underage game players from playing for prolonged periods by dropping in-game rewards or even stopping gameplay after a certain amount of time. So I think that, yes, I think we could learn from this, but I think the important thing to study how effective these measures actually are. And I actually read something about a report from South Korea to say that, and I quote from the conclusion of this study, to say that although there has been these steps taken to address problematic video game playing, most of these steps were not as effective as expected, or they have not been evaluated empirically for efficacy. So they think that instead of just looking at these certain aspects of the problem, they should look at it from a more integrated point of view and looking at it as a whole. So I think studies should be done first to see how effective these measures are before we adopt similar approaches like what China and South Korea are doing.
We have just 30 seconds left. Now, there is this collective global push to regulate tech and social media companies better. What would you like to see done in that regard?
Well, as I've said earlier, before we start going like globally, like let's regulate the tech companies. I think, first of all, we need to see and assess of how effective these laws are. In other countries who have tried to put in place such measures, is internet addiction really reduced by imposing such laws on tech companies, by stopping gameplay, for example, or changing the nature of their products? Or might a better way be to reach out to parents and put in place awareness programs or even counselling?
Lai Ling, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome.
That was Tong Lai Ling, a technology, multimedia and telecommunications lawyer weighing in on regulation in terms of how it can address internet addiction. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.